In this episode, we dive deep into the mind, the ever so elusive, so deep, really trying hard to figure out mind of a woman. I'm just kidding. We're talking with my wife and her two friends, Penelope and Jaki, and it's going to be an amazing episode. We get deep, we get real, we get honest, and of course, keeping it raw.
Hey, and also dope news, we're going to be an editorial pick over there on CastBox. So go over there and check it out, download, subscribe. It's the best app for Power Podcast listeners, man. You can download that at CastBox.fm or in the App Store. Of course, here's Knights at the Roundtable.
And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. It's your boy Manuel, and hey, I am surrounded by women.
We got
Penstifer over here, affectionately known as. And then we got my queen right here, Angela. This is Penelope Vasquez. And we got Jaki Graham, who is Jaki Altop. But they all have nicknames for me. Oh, Jaki Cisneros. Sorry.
I've been telling him to change your name in his phone for the longest, and he will not change it.
I have Jaki Altop.
He will go, call Jaki Altop to Siri. And I go, it's Cisneros.
My bad.
Oh, I need to change it in my phone, too.
You guys have been married almost 2 years now.
Oh, no. Shoot.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I need to change it on my bank statement.
Yeah. So what are we drinking, Jaki Graham?
We are drinking a Kim Crawford. It's a Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon.
But it's white. Sauvignon. Didn't we just have a Sauvignon, but it was red? Can it be both?
You had Cabernet.
Oh,
had
Cabernet. Okay.
A Sav Kev.
Okay,
this
okay.
This is a Sav Blanc.
Okay, all right. And it's a Kim Crawford.
It's a Kim Crawford. Isn't she a model?
It's a Kim Kardashian Crawford.
Do we know who this is?
Isn't Kim Crawford like a model, or is that just making...
That's Cindy Crawford.
Oh, got it.
Her sister.
Okay. Well, Cindy Crawford has a good makeup line that I used to order from the TV channel.
Is it makeup or skin?
No, it's makeup.
Really? And she had skin, though.
Okay, but the makeup is what I ordered on TV, and it was like this foundation that was Cindy Crawford's. I don't know.
Holy crap, this episode is going to be rabbit trails.
Okay, well, this one is supposed to dazzle with aromas and an intense tropical fruit and fresh-cut grass notes. I love some
fresh-cut grass.
So fresh.
Jinx, you owe me a drink.
The palate burst with passion fruit, citrus, ripe stone fruit flavors. Yeah, there's a lot more, but
all right. Well, let's cheers it up to
cheers.
The
cheers.
Oh, I don't mind it. I don't mind this one.
Grassy.
I don't see the grass. I don't.
I do see the grass. Hold on, let me give it a go.
What?
If you feel like,
what do you mean you see it?
Like
wheatgrass.
You know, in our minds.
In my mind's eye, I see it.
You can see.
Okay.
It's good though.
It reminds me of our walk this morning. Oh. Was it this morning?
No, yesterday.
Yesterday. I remember we're all, ooh, it smells fresh over here.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like this wine.
Yeah. Well, anyways, let me keep you guys on track. Let me bring
you're
you
gonna
into
do
the
a place. Lot of why keeping we on track this episode.
Well, look, we did an episode. The guys did an episode on what it means to be a man, and it was so prolific. It was so amazing. It was me, B-Real, and Willie Matt, and we had an amazing time. Before we knew it, we talked for like almost an hour and a half, and it was crazy. So it's only right that I think we do an episode of what it means to be a woman. And what better way than to invite women onto the show?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Because I don't really know it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know some stuff, but I don't know everything, you know? I don't know what you guys be feeling inside. But I wanted to start it off like we started off, which... we basically went back to our childhood and we addressed what we saw growing up that made us determine whether we were either taught what a man was or did we just view what a man was. And so I'll ask the same question to you guys. Were you taught, like, were you reared to know, hey, this is how ladies talk, this is how ladies act, this is what ladies do, or did you just kind of like pick it up in some other fashion?
For me, I was raised by a single mom, so I saw a woman that was busybody, hard worker, workaholic, you know, nothing stood in her way to give her kids what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
She provided. Granted, I barely spent time with her. She was always working. She worked 3 jobs.
Wow.
And she instilled in me to be a leader. As the oldest, I was the oldest of 3 kids. So that's just been ingrained in me. That's what was taught. I didn't know any other way but to just go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now being an adult, it's really hard to train myself to say, chill.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Take your time. Enjoy life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's really hard because it was, it's like in my pattern of thinking now of how I react to life is go, just do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't so to you, that's kind of what, that's a trait for what a woman is, yeah. is a person who takes the brunt of it on the shoulders and go no matter what, work, take it all in stride, but keep going.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mine is a little similar. Also, my parents got divorced when I was 8. So from 8 on, my mom was a single mom. But before that, it was my mom and dad there. And I was never taught a woman acts like this. A lady always talks like this. A lady yeah. sits like this. I was never taught that. Anything that I know about being a woman is from what I've watched and learned. And women take care of the family. Women, looking at my grandmother, who had 8 kids of her own and a myriad of grandkids, so many grandkids, and she took care of all of us and helped raise all of us. And my mom is raising us. So to me, I feel like I learned women take care of the family. Is one attribute. I mean, it's hard to like wrap up like all the lessons I learned. This is what it means right. to be a woman. But looking back at my family, women took care of the family is one attribute.
Yeah.
Which coincides with most of what society says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not an abnormal.
Do you think it's a cultural thing too?
For sure. A cultural thing.
Yeah.
Definitely my grandmother lived with my aunt and she was always cooking and that's very Mexican, you know, cooking and providing for the family in that way, doing the laundry, doing the house cleaning and serving the plate and like all of that kind of stuff. And then when my parents got divorced, my mom went to single mom work mode and doing what she had to do to provide for her kids. So like my mom was a hustler as well. And my mom had help. She had my grandma come and help her a lot. So I remember seeing my mom working so hard and not afraid to ask for help and receive help.
Interesting. Was your mom, did your mom ever ask for help?
Oh, yes. She was good at asking for help.
See, and mine didn't.
She was so like, whoever can help out, here's my kids. They're over here. We're over there. Mm-hmm. You like tag team.
Didn't See? Your... Wasn't your mom in a show and would bring you to the show and like the other dancers in the show would like watch you or something? Don't you have a story about that?
Yeah, this was like when I was a baby because she was still dancing on in a company. And so I would be backstage. I'd be at rehearsals. You know, I was a theater kid. Mm-hmm. So anybody, whoever was available would watch me.
Yeah.
I'm curious to ask because when you saying, because this is something that we always talk about, but your mom was never afraid to ask for help. Did that bother you? Because now you hate asking for help.
I do. It's really hard.
You don't like the feeling of it.
I think that I have a hard time asking for help just because of the season that I came out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's a triggering
different.
Of the past.
That's different. Yeah. I don't think it has to do with...
But my mom didn't ask for help. But I'm a pastor's kid, and they were 20 when they had me. So we were raised by the church as well. So I was always hanging out with teenagers because they were youth pastors. Mm. So I was raised by youth, like in the youth ministry, constantly sleeping on church benches or, you know, learn to sleep in a pew or whatever, you know. We went to my grandparents a lot in the summer. Like that was help. But for the most part, it was me and Josh just... latchkey kids.
Yeah.
And like figuring it out ourselves, you know. Yeah. My mom didn't, she was not the cook. She didn't know how to boil water. So like my dad was a cook growing up. Now she cooks and she bakes and she's good. But my grandma cooked. So I learned that kind of stuff from my grandma, which is Italian. So I tried to pick up those kind of things. And I was thinking, I was never taught. I was telling her earlier that I learned by like how a baby lion cub watches his mom hunt.
Right.
That's how I learned how to be a woman. It's not by like being taught like, oh, a lady does this.
Just observing and...
Yeah, observing. Oh, my mom puts on all the makeup and the perfume and the... Okay, then that's what I do. I do the makeup and I do the perfume and I do the hair and I do, you know, and learn that way. But I do remember I cut my pasta which is like a super no-no, I guess, in etiquette. But then also like for Italians, you're supposed to roll it. And I never liked it. And I remember my grandma just always hating on that. Like, you're not supposed to do that. I can't. You're going to be on a date one day and you're just going to embarrass yourself.
Because you cut your pasta?
Yeah, because I cut my pasta.
With the knife?
Yeah, I cut my pasta.
You're supposed to roll it on the fork.
You're supposed to roll it on a fork and then
put it in the spoon. Oh. A big old bite. Roll it in the spoon.
And
like
I
that.
Just thought
that's
that was
more satisfying, though.
I like cutting it. And so I remember like little things like that.
Learning those little cues.
Or learning like my grandma always taught me.
And that's
me,
almost
like,
more cultural.
Yeah, that's like that. Or like she taught me like don't spin because you're going to attract tension. Because I always twirled in my dresses.
Interesting.
Oh, and she told you not to.
Yeah, she didn't want me to attract attention. Negatively.
Oh, wow.
But there's history on that. So.
Okay, wait, though. But then if you had to be honest,
yeah.
What traits do you find in yourself that came from watching or growing up and where you grew up that you now recognize, ooh, this isn't really what a woman is, if any? Like, is there something that you taught and saw that was taught to you by default because of what's happening to you that you now have to unlearn? Because it's like, ooh, this wasn't what being a woman was. This is just what mom did.
I guess that comes into the definition of what does it mean to be a woman to you? Because, like, to say that's not what a woman is, what if it is to some other woman?
Well, that's why I'm asking to you.
So
I'm asking you specifically in your life, what are things that you learned and that now you are figuring out for you, this is not what a woman does. This is not for me in my life.
This is not what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom has emotions close to the vest, that kind of thing. So she's very emotional. So I learned early on, don't show emotion because it shows weakness is how I perceived it.
Mm-hmm. So you went the opposite.
So I went the opposite. And so I went very like, don't show emotions, get things done, be, you know, hard like that, almost too masculine.
Because you saw your mom show all the emotions. You're like, that's weak.
Yeah. Wait. But what made you think it was weak?
Because the way it was
received.
Yeah.
Who? By who?
By my dad. And then, you know,
so communicate that to you?
No, you just watch it.
Oh, okay.
But what did he do to make it look weak? Like if she if you showed emotion, was he like, shut up?
Yeah, if a woman is crying and then you have a masculine energy being like, stop crying all the time or da da. So you start learning that showing that is weakness.
Mm. Oh, well then this is a question that I ask in the men's one too. Okay. Were you allowed to cry?
Yeah. But I was always like, my dad's more of the, they were all both kind of like tough love. Like, okay, get over it. Mm-hmm. Now what? Like, it's a terrible story, but I broke up with my fiance and my dad was like, okay, well, that happened. What's next?
That was his.
That's okay. It?
Yeah.
That was his comforting talk.
Yeah. What's next? Jeez. So
straight to the point.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Well then, I refigure out my life. So I have what's next mentality. Figure it out. What's next? So I'm learning now not to act in that masculinity as much and to learn to act and be okay with emotion. That I'm not weak because I want to show vulnerability. That I'm not weak because I want to be soft. That I'm not weak because I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because I feel like the society norm is that women are emotional and women are those who can cry and it's okay and they can talk about their feelings and that's what's custom, that you're used to women talking about their feelings and being emotional. But you're saying the opposite is for you. And in our relationship, we always talk about that I'm the cyborg in our relationship, that you're always talking about feelings and I like close up and I like toughen up and bow up like, well, I did this because you did this, you know?
Well, you're not a cyborg. You're a cyborg to me, not to other people. You're super emotional and loving to other people.
Yeah, just you.
Just me, your Terminator.
Terminator.
She's fine with me. We cry all the time.
Except for when Penelope tries to cuddle me.
Oh.
Because like we were roommates for a long time. If we ever share a room together, Penelope always tries to cuddle me, and I have to put my pillow in between us and be like, no, Penelope.
What is wrong with cuddling? Off me.
I love cuddling.
Okay.
We'll be roommates.
We'll be roommates.
That's totally a girl thing. Because there's no way in hell.
Okay.
There's no way in hell you'll catch me being like, yo, B, want to cuddle?
Yeah, I know.
That shit ain't, that is not happening.
I specifically call friends and say, I just need a hug.
What?
That's different. Yeah.
Or like, can I, like, I need a cuddle sesh. Yeah,
no, we would full on share a hotel room, Penelope. And next thing you know, her leg is over me. She's earing me, like, full on, like, petting my ear. Oh, and I'd be like, no, girl, I'm about to pillow you right now.
She would put a pillow between us, and I would just, like, go over it.
Well, I don't want to say no men like to cuddle. I just haven't met any myself. That's all I can say for myself. But proceed. What were you saying then?
Just that was an interesting note that women are typically known for being like super emotional, but the way Jaquie grew up was that no, don't show your emotions.
Well, you kind of learned the same thing. Like you and your family, everybody is so quick witted and so funny that
you
kind of learned how to put up walls too.
Sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, and also too, just like my dad was very angry in the home growing up. And I would say one thing I learned like watching my mom, and I don't know if this is like personality, like I'm a 9 and I'm not confrontational and like that whole Enneagram thing. But I think it was hard for my mom to speak up to my dad, who was very... he had a bad temper, and it was like what he says goes, his way or the highway. And so I remember a lot of times it was a lot of us walking on eggshells if my dad was in a mood, including my mom. And so I don't know if that was something that I picked up from her, or if maybe my mom's a 9 too and she's just not confrontational. There were definitely a few times where I do remember my mom speaking up to my dad and saying things to him, but for the most part, I remember it was like my dad ran the ship, and then we were all kind of just whatever he says goes. Mm. Mm.
That's interesting. So do you guys think in your current state, where you're at right now in this season, can you give a definition of what it means to be a woman? Like, do you feel that you've garnered enough life to give like – at least an outline for yourself to be like, this is what a woman is to me.
I mean,
I just feel like it's
so wide. It's right. So,
but I'm not wide for. I don't mean what a woman is to anyone else. I mean to you, because you are, and we famously said it in the last podcast where you're like, you know, on our wedding day or right before our wedding day, you said you want to be the woman, the exact woman that Manuel wants. Mm-hmm. To be. So there was an idea of what a woman was to which you aspire to be, right? So you each have a version of yourself that you are aspiring to be, which is to you the ideal woman. So what I'm saying is, are you at a place now where you feel you have enough of your shit together to cast an idea or a vision of what the woman that you're trying to become is and looks like?
Here's what's easier for me to say is I can tell you where I feel I lack as a woman, and where I know anyone could easily chime in and say, no, that doesn't mean, because definitions are fluid now. So it's, I get that. But I could say things like, my feminine quality of like, I don't like to wear heels and dress up and wear dresses and like look pretty and go out. And I remember you asking me a question one time, like, when do you feel you're most confident? Like, what are you wearing? And I'm like, jeans and tennies and my hair pulled back. And you're like, not like when you're like in heels and like a dress. And I'm like, no, like I have weak ankles. I could fall. I'm bow legged. Like I feel not confident at all. Like I do not feel like confident. And I feel confident when I'm like toughened
grounded.
Up. Yeah. And I can like defend myself. Or,
well, the
or
only
something.
Reason I always ask you that is because when you do dress up on the occasion, I feel like I see you with a little pep in your step.
Oh, sure. I feel pretty. Because
I've never seen you come down with jeans and sneakers and be like, I'm killing it right now. I've never seen you say that. You just kind of like slump.
But I could easily fight somebody. And that's
right, but confidence. And then I feel like what you're saying is like, I feel confident in jeans and sneakers. But there is something, there's an element of I feel sexy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And heels and a cute little dress. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a different, like, so if you're asking her just when she feels confident, confident, comfortable, grounded is going to be jeans, sneakers, pony for her. But, like, when you feel sexy and you feel like, oh, I'm about to turn some heads, you don't really think that in jeans and sneakers. Maybe that's a little different for me
because I feel confident when I look good. No matter what it is, I always feel way more confident when I look good. When I'm like slouching it,
but I think I look good when I'm in jeans and denim. Yeah. That's the thing.
And you value comfort too. So
I do.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm wearing a dress and heels and I look sexy, I'm like, man, I look good right now. I got a good smoky eye going. Like, I did my contour on point. Okay. Like, tonight is the night, right? I feel sexy. And we go to a restaurant. The second I get up to walk to the bathroom, immediately all my confidence leaves because I'm like, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. Every step, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall, don't slip. Oh, shit, I slip. Okay, don't fall. Like, so it's when I'm sitting, sure, I'm like, everybody look at me. But then when I get up to walk, I'm like, nobody look at me.
I feel the opposite. That's hysterical. Because if I'm looking good and I'm in heels, I haven't been in heels in a while, but when I do, and you that walk to the bathroom, you're like, all right. let me work this dress for a second. let me throw those tips to the right.
That's your walk to go sharpen your pencil in second grade.
Yes.
That's the everybody look at me.
You need everybody.
With my birthday shoes on.
Especially when you're married, you're like, okay, you got it. So I need a couple more eyes just to say, this was worth the effort tonight.
I need a couple more cosigns.
Yeah. Cosigns.
But I think it's very interesting that you chose to speak on what you not what you don't have or what
where
you
I can lack.
As opposed to casting
vision for the future,
the vision for what the woman is.
Ooh, I got some.
Go.
So I'm working on some future stuff and what I want. I know who I am right now, and I'm seeing in marriage, which is only 2 years, the mirror that's been put in front of me, and so I'm seeing more faults. Because when I was single, I was perfect because it was just me.
Yeah.
But now I have a husband, and now I'm not perfect anymore. So I've seen like, oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm quick to temper. Oh, I'm, you know, seeing these things. Mm. So for me, a strong woman, which I still am and continue to want to be, but I want to learn to be more generous and kind and put my pride down. I'm trying to learn how to not try to win a fight. I'm trying to learn, okay, is the end result worth me keeping my pride and winning tonight? Or can I just say sorry? So I'm trying to learn how to say sorry and be softer so that my future and my marriage, we won't have as much argument and confrontation. So, because that's what I want. I want us to be just not like in love, but like I want us to live in love.
Be united.
Yeah, and be united. So if you know, that means I need to lay me down every once in a while, I'm trying to work on that because it's not easy for me.
These girls so well, I just want to chime in really quick, is one thing I've always complimented Penelope on is how good she is at forgiving and being so gracious. So I would love to even just hear those opposites because I feel like I'm definitely more like Jiki, and I'm learning how to put my pride down and say, okay, I'm sorry. And Penelope has always been a friend in my life that would be the first person to go, oh, I'm sorry. And I'd be like, oh, how she do that?
Because it eats at you in the, like, just saying sorry today. I was like, just say it. Just say it. Just say you're sorry. Just say you're sorry. And I was like.
I mean, I don't know if it's like the non-confrontational side of me, but I just, I'm a team player. And I just want so badly to have the good result at the end, you know? And so I care about the love.
Mm.
So if there is confrontation, I'm not afraid to say, let's fix it. What'd I do? Tell me. I'm sorry. Like, I'm quick to go there because.
Sorry. Aw, that's cute.
No, I was thinking like, oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to waste time with arguing or like taking a break or like having any kind of tension. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not worth it to me because I don't know. I'm a lover. I'm a cuddler. I'm like, let's just cuddle, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'd rather spend more time doing that and making memories and connecting and growing than fighting, arguing, having, you know. It was very hard when I was married, you know, when you have those confrontational moments when you're in your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely get to the point where I would, like, we cannot move forward until we – and I was always the first one. Yeah, I guess I was always the first one to say, all right, I'm sorry.
That's my husband.
Well, here's what I was going to ask. Like, what do you think – do you think it's – I don't know if this is a question about sex, meaning, like, male or female, but – do you feel intrinsically there's something in you that feels the need because maybe as a woman you feel like men try to take advantage of a situation or try to usurp your authority or try to be domineering, to which somewhere in your life you felt like, nah, I need to freaking stand up for myself. I will not let the status quo of a man talking down to me or talking whatever, or if you experience it in your life, to now you feel like you have to defend yourself. Like, and I always ask her the same question. I'm always like, I try to take responsibility for what I do. So I do not mind coming to her and saying, am I depositing pride, anger, or any type of these negative emotions that I'm seeing in you coming towards me? Am I depositing that in you? If so, what's coming back to me is warranted. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting what I'm given. Mm-hmm. And I cannot get upset with her until I stop giving it. But, you know, that conversation has never gone that way. It's more so, how do we figure out why is it that you're trying to, what is it that has happened in life or in your past or even right now? Like, what are you holding on to? Mm-hmm. Why pride? Why choose pride before sorry? If at the end of the day you really want,
it feels better.
It does feel better. It feels like you won.
I agree.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. Like, literally, the apology I needed to apologize for is I made myself a coffee and I didn't make Eddie one, and then we left. And he was like, and I had two drinks, and he's like, oh, is one of those mine? I'm like, no, this is my coffee and this is my milk. And he's like, so you didn't make me a coffee? I'm like, no. He's like, I bring you one every morning. I'm like, well, I was trying to get ready. And then, like, a whole car ride, I'm like, I'm not saying sorry for this. Like, you should have told me you wanted a coffee. But I was thinking, literally.
That was a safe conversation.
Yeah, no. I was thinking about you. I literally was thinking about you. And I was like, if this was flipped on me and he didn't consider me and didn't bring me a coffee. Uh-huh. And I said sorry at least probably 10 times in my head before I said it out loud. And then saying it out loud, I was like, I'm sorry for not bringing you a coffee. I was honestly just trying to get ready so I wouldn't make you late. But I'm sorry I didn't get you one too. And it, like, it hurt. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just like, it feels like you lost the battle. And maybe that is something, like, as a woman, you're trying to always win. Because we do work in a predominantly masculine
world.
Well, it's a different world for a woman. Before, I think
it's also just from how you are, your upbringing. It definitely is a react. Like, how you react today is...
Right, from childhood.
Like how you were brought up and what you were exposed to. And it just creates this natural reaction that your body.
Well, and I also think it's a different world. And what I mean by that is in the 60s, it was not weird for a woman to be okay to be in the home. It wasn't weird. It wasn't a diss if a guy said, hey, you know, make me some dinner. And treat the wife like a homebody. And right. That's just, I'm gonna go make the money. You're gonna stay home, you're gonna raise the kids. Assuming that was not a negative thing.
Right.
It was normal. We are in a day now where assuming anything of a normal gender role is now extremely offensive.
Right.
And it's now a man attacking. You know, it's a different world.
Right.
It's a different world.
That's what I'm saying. So is it that's, I guess, what I'm trying to address is, do you feel like because that world is changing now, your mind state or your viewpoint is now changing with the world? Like, it is definitely keeping in stride. And do you feel like whether or not the guy is or not your husband, whoever it is that you're, you know, dating or whatever, like, do you feel like from the jump they have this presumed, not domineering, but they're over you? Like, do you assume a man to be like that?
No, I don't. But I think that's...
Because I only ask because if your reaction is to bow up, then that means you do presume them to be talking down to you.
No, I mean, I think it doesn't matter if it's man or woman problem.
Oh, okay.
I think it's me needing to be right or me needing to bow up to prove whatever, X, Y, or Z. So I think it just happens to be in the husband-wife situation, it's my husband. In a comedy club situation, it's genuinely or generally a man who's the manager or telling me, no, you're not going to get this. And I'm like, oh, but I am.
Yeah.
So I don't think to balance, like, that's what I'm saying. I guess for a future woman self of myself, like, I'm learning to take, Eddie always calls it my work Jaki and my regular Jaki, like, and take work Jaki and put that person down to, like, lay her down and be soft and be kind and be loving and not so demanding of a situation. And so that's what I'm working on, is I'm trying to exude love because I feel it.
Like your masculine and feminine.
Yeah, my masculine and feminine energy. I've realized that I work so effortlessly out of masculine energy that I'm trying to embrace feminine energy and embrace vulnerability and embrace. So to me, be more. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I was saying to you too. Like, I feel like I'm super girly. I love pink. I love sparkles. I love girly stuff. I don't feel that I'm feminine 1 ounce. Because to me, feminine is soft and meek and mild and like.
That's feminine.
Oh, in my head, I was like, I'm feminine.
Yeah, and then you went. But that's what I'm. No, but that to me, that's what I'm trying to work on, is like embrace more feminine qualities.
Yeah.
Babe, do you think I'm feminine?
We define feminine.
Well, I don't know. What's your definition of feminine?
Feminine, softer. I feel like, yeah, ish. Well, like what Penn said. Feminine-ish. You know, because things that are typically important to females is not really important to you, you know? Which is, I mean, it's not bad.
But so here's the thing. Like what is feminine and what is girly? Is girly feminine? Are they the same thing?
Yeah.
So it's like I can like bow up with pride. I can like be more confident in my jeans and tennies. But then at the same time, I'm so soft and like cuddly with you. Mm-hmm. And like when I wake up in the morning and like my first thing is like, aren't you going to welcome me to the day? Like, can we just have like some connection time? I just woke up and you're already out of the bed. I need you to like hug me and like hold me and be. So there, I have those soft qualities to me that are reserved for you, you know?
So I guess then feminine to me, when I think of feminine, I think of somebody who does maybe, and maybe this is not right, or maybe it is. I don't know. Feminine to me is what the archetype of it's hard to say this, but I guess a woman that is like into beauty, into
Jessica Rabbit.
I guess,
but she's not feminine. She's sexy.
Yeah, she's sexy, but sexy is feminine to me. Like for sure. But who enjoys the girly side of things, it, to me, makes somebody more feminine. Who is okay with the softer side, who's okay with being like, you know, like, I'm okay with liking pink. I'm okay with, you know, liking to bake, or I'm okay with liking to do whatever.
I like all those things.
Yeah, so to me, like, I feel like that's feminine
energy. So he sees you as feminine?
I've never seen you as hard.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, you have a hard side because of your vocation. Like, you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about you to me is girly.
That's so interesting, too. Like, I would agree with that because For everybody listening, if you don't know, Jaki is my assistant and road manager. And when I say road manager, we go into these comedy clubs, into these venues, and people try to poach her from me all the time. And they will tell her that you are the best road manager we've ever met. And being a female road manager is rare. It's typically men who are road managers. So Jaki will walk into a building and walk in with authority. And she will get what she wants, but like with respect, she's not out there burning bridges. And she has that masculine, like, I'm going to get it done. But at the same time, she's smiley, bubbly, and her tone is always like, hi. And she's very that, but at the same time, hi, no, we're not going to do that. Thank you though. And so like, she's getting it done. But with her,
she's using her feminine energy to get it done.
Exactly. Like, see, so I think you're a good balance of both.
Here's also one thing because I think feminine energy is definitely coinciding with the confidence of how you have like a confidence in your sexuality.
Hmm. Well, I think it's confidence in yourself. Just having confidence in yourself.
But sexuality is a big part of a woman.
Sure.
Like, it's the reason why men go to war. It's the reason why there have been, you know, a fight in every playground. You know, like, a woman who owns her sexuality and the feminine sides of her, to me, is what makes it, like, the beautiful kind of feminine. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm, like, I'm always amazed at those people that can do that, you know?
I'm just gonna add, for me, what does that sound?
That's Bonzo growling. Bonzo being growling. He never growls. Oh, he must have heard it's windy outside or something. Sometimes he hears noises outside. And, Bonzo. Are you okay, little doggy?
Did we just do a Bonzo break?
Yeah. Aww. Bonzo like break. A Maddie moment. Now we have a Bonzo break.
It's okay, boy. Go ahead, Ben.
For me, with how women are perceived in the world that I come from, because I come from like the dance world.
Right.
I'm actually trying to disconnect my perception of how women should be. Mm. Women are very, at least in the dance world, are very showy with their sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's actually glorified to be very sexual and upfront about it, because essentially that does show confidence. Mm-hmm. And as a dancer, if you are confident in your sexuality, you can book the job.
Right.
And so I'm trying to be more connected to who I am. There are parts of me that's very much, I'm sexual, I'm feminine, and I'm confident in those things, but I'm trying to actually disconnect my influence so I can stay connected to who I actually am and not feel like I need to be a woman by being what I see the world, what the world says you need to be a woman.
Right.
And trying to connect with like, okay, Pen, what do you feel? What feels good to you as a woman?
Right.
What do you connect with?
Hmm. And what are those things?
I am feminine. I love wearing dresses. That's been my newest thing, is like, I feel the most feminine in a dress, so I don't have enough, and I'm trying to get more. And
you can have some of mine. Okay. I'll wear them.
Okay, I'll take them. I do try to wear heels. I mean, I connect with what Ange said, is I don't like wearing heels because they're not comfortable, but I can walk in them. I'm a trained dancer, so I know how to walk in heels, and I do feel some sense of power and confidence when you're in them. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to own that and wear that more. Although at the end of the day, I'm like, it's not, you know.
You
know.
Flip flops in your car.
Yeah, for real. Or I just take
for
them
for driving off and
yeah. What other things?
I mean, you tell me that you're practicing in being your feminine.
Sorry, that's like a. Let me think.
And you guys can join in.
What is the question?
what she was talking about, practicing her femininity. Like, what? Because she's saying there's things that make her feel feminine. What is she practicing in that?
So, interesting enough, Jaki, Penelope, and I are in a women's circle where we are learning about feminine and masculine energy, which is why you've heard Jaki and I mention that already 17 times here. 17 times. But Krista Gifford, who teaches this course, has been so instrumental in my life in getting in tune with my femininity and it not having to be about dresses and heels, which has been liberating for me to feel like, oh, I can be feminine without my heels and dresses. But and not to give excuse to not put them on. But she would teach us to do things like pleasure practice, which is not masturbation, even though it sounds like that. But like pleasure practice is like what feels good to you. Is it like playing with your hair? Is it like, you know, feeling your skin? Is it doing like hip circles while you drive and you're sitting and like stretching your body? Is it doing a sexy dance in the mirror? Like whatever it is that feels good to you, practice feeling pleasure in your body. And that is one tool and like one practice of just like getting in touch with my femininity. And then also, even just doing that, like hip circles, like sitting in the car when you're like sitting in traffic and you're just like sitting there with your hands on the wheel or like you're bored or whatever. But if just practicing moving your body is like you're like activating something inside of you. And if you actually meditate on that and you're focusing on that, I can come home from a meeting with a whole different energy for Manuel, if I've been doing like hip circles and pleasure practice, and I can come home softer to him, and it's completely different reception from Manuel if I just came home like in my masculine energy of like, yeah, I killed this audition, crushed, let's go. Like that's good to have when you're going into your audition, like, yeah, crushed it, let's go. But then coming home to him, like that's not as attractive to my husband. Like he's not attractive to the masculine, yo, what up, bruh?
Right.
Killed this audition.
Right.
Okay. You know, like he'll laugh at me and we'll have a good laugh. But if I were to come home softer, that's more appealing to him. So those are some of the tools that I'm using to get in touch with my femininity.
I do connect with that. I do connect because I remember movement is huge, especially like if I'm a dancer, when I was dancing more, I think probably that's when I felt the sexiest is when I had more movement in my life. And then there was a season where it just stopped and I wasn't moving and I was just being a mom and a wife and a caretaker. And I was doing what I had to do. I was doing the go, go, go thing that my mom taught me. And I remember we were in Boquinque rehearsals and I started moving my body again. And then I would see myself in the mirror dancing and moving. And I started to feel confident and I started to feel sexy and I started to feel sexual. And I hadn't in a very long time. And it was weird. Like that part of me was sleeping and it was very odd to then feel all these like female, like powerful, like it was strong. It like hit me hard. So I agree. Movement is a big deal.
See, and I think that's where we were talking about that the other day. Like I have the hardest time with movement. I don't know why.
A lot of women do.
I've never done some of this, like the circles or whatever. I'm like,
Is it silly? You feel like it's...
I innately feel a little silly. Like, ironically enough, like I have no issue getting in a good dress and a heels. And I mean, this job doesn't require them as much. So I've kind of put them to the side. But my entire closet used to be nothing but dresses and heels because I loved it. And so I'm working on getting back to that. But I can feel sexy and I can, you know, look like that, but the inward of like, let me just do hip circles or let me do like, I don't personally connect to sexy. I can elude it, but I don't connect to it.
So what gets you in your sexy?
I mean, I like when I look good. I feel sexy when I look good, but I'd rather laugh. Like I'd rather have fun. And like with my husband, I can't just be like, ugh. Sexy cat crawl.
Right.
Like to me, I'm like, let's just have some fun.
And that's sex. That's to me equates to sexy. Does that equate to sexy for him?
Probably not. I don't know.
You don't know?
Does that get you in the mood? Is that like you're feeling sexual after a good laugh?
No, what actually gets me in the mood is a good conversation. Like when he talks. And sometimes I'm like, tell me more about what you learned.
That's not bad.
Like when he drops wisdom.
Yeah,
on you.
When he
wait, but does he know this too?
I don't know.
What the
fuck? Well, he will.
We're only 2 years in. We're working on this, okay?
That's the stuff that you need to be talking about.
Well, they used to make fun of me because anybody who would talk, they always said you could like turn me on if you started talking Jesus to me.
Yeah.
Because for real, I was like, oh, you know that?
Oh, you know that scripture by heart?
Yeah.
Okay, you could be quoting it without reading.
What else do you know? Because we go deep like that.
Okay.
So like him, like me waking up and he's been reading the Bible in the morning, and I'm like, like that.
You should, knowledge is sexy.
I'm like, oh,
you should probably say that. Like that, I'm sure it would encourage him more to do those things.
Maybe.
I mean, I would communicate.
He enrolls in seminary school immediately.
Yeah. Well, that's what. Okay, so to my point, I am working on vulnerability.
Mm. Oh, so you even see that as being vulnerable? Like,
yeah, I
see,
sharing what you like.
And, yeah, I see sharing.
So then, So not only are we saying
can end about that, sharing.
Not only are you saying then, okay, so you haven't communicated this to your man, and you
maybe I didn't.
And you are confident that conversation is what gets you feeling your most, whatever. The act of being sexy in another way, like what they were explaining it, feels foreign or more silly. Not because of an insecurity, but more so, it's just not your thing.
I just personally, I've never seen myself as like sexy. Like I see myself as goofy. I see myself as fun. I see myself as playful. I don't see myself as like.
That's interesting because I remember asking, Queen, remember when I asked you that? I was like, babe, do you think you're sexy? And I remember asking her that one time when we were up in bed. I asked her, I was like, do you think you're sexy? Because if you don't think it, how am I going to believe it?
What did I say?
No.
I say I think I'm cute.
You didn't think you were sexy. You just thought you liked, you felt more confident when you were funny.
That's true.
Mm. When you're funny or whatever. And I'm like, no, just like. Sexy, like do you think you're sexy? Like do you exude that vibe of like I enjoy sexual, being whatever? And she couldn't answer that. This was like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But now she's way better. Like she can answer it and she's feeling herself.
Hey. I'm feeling myself.
I'm feeling you too, girl. I love it. But you're pretty, I mean, I feel like you're in your feminine all the time. I've never seen you like not in your feminine.
I feel sexy.
Yeah, you're in your... Yeah,
you're totally sexy.
You're always in your vibe.
So sexy.
I actually have been like trying to own natural.
Penelope, I'm trying to not be sexy, you guys.
It's so hard.
No, I'm trying to feel sexy when I don't have all the things. When sure. I don't have all the makeup on and the hair done and the heels and the dress, like I'm trying to feel sexy in my own skin, just as is.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's new.
That's good, though.
Interesting.
Because yeah. I feel probably almost too comfortable in my own skin. So I got to work on putting makeup back on.
These are all very what good did things,
you
say y'all.
To, you, Jinky said to me one time, she goes, I think I have reverse body dysmorphia.
Yeah. Because I think I look way better than I probably do some days. I'm like, nah, I'm still good. And then they're
that's
like,
awesome.
Oh.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry,
nobody says that, but that's what you think in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. It's not bad as long as you're still working at goals. I mean,
no, yeah, I'm working at goals now. I want to get roller skates.
Yeah.
Want to get roller skates? Because I live, I want to. Roller skate on the boardwalk.
That is so funny. Why not? That's very
no,
LA.
That's very funny. It's well, very what's LA. Funny, I remember one time my brother Kenny and me and my friend Maya, we were going to the same gym at one time and we were working on our summer fitness goals and Kenny's goal was to do the splits.
I could have helped him with that. You should have asked
that
me.
That was his summer fitness goal was to do the splits.
So
my new fitness goal is to be able to carry a baby after 40.
Come on.
Okay.
You could do it.
You could do it.
That's my fitness goal.
My mom was 42.
Yeah. I'm 39.
Oh, you mean carry like in your body?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like
I want that body to bounce back. I thought you meant just, I ain't 20.
I thought you meant carry it. I was like, well, get a medicine ball, like 10 pounds. Practice. And just walk around with it.
No.
You got this.
I want to be able to carry, like, I want my body to be able to be strong enough to carry
child. Yeah. Okay.
And then not die afterwards.
Yeah. No.
That's a deep aspect of what does it mean to be a woman as well. Then it comes to like motherhood and right. your womb and birthing a child. And there's some women who at this table, Penelope is the only one who has a child. And so then there's people who don't want kids, can't have kids, have hella kids. And what part does that play in, like, what does it mean to be a woman?
Right.
And I'm sure there probably is some people out there that's like, if you don't have kids, then you're not fully expressed as a woman, which I don't subscribe to that. But
I don't either.
I know there's a lot of people who told us, like, if we don't have kids, like, we're not fulfilling God's
purpose
and plan and all of that kind of thing. But I mean,
so is being a mom to a degree, does anybody feel like that's the epitome of being a woman?
I mean, not yet.
Since you're the only ones that can do it.
I think it's a beautiful thing to experience. I'm not going to judge anyone if they're not, that's not for them. But I think as a woman, it's a gift that God has given us. So for mm-hmm. me, I can only speak from personal experience that it's probably been the best and most beautiful experience that I've felt as a human that I've been able to create a life and then now raise this wow. human to go off into the world and know that I had a part in that. It's very rewarding. Mm.
It is kind of magical.
But as far as like the female stereotype, I think for me as a mom and a single mom is that your life is complete with a partner and your family is complete with two parents.
Right.
And that's something that I've had to really reshape in my mind because, you know, my mom raised me as a single parent, but she was also a hopeless romantic and was always searching for a partner and got married a couple times, more than a couple times, but
a couple times, time too.
And, you know, I don't want to, no offense, but I don't want to follow in her footsteps. I want to find one person.
Right.
Granted, I'm divorced, but I want to find my next partner to be the last partner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if not, in the meantime, as a single parent, I don't feel the need to fulfill the stereotype of I need a partner right now. I feel like if anything, I'm trying to just go hard and own the season that I'm in as a single parent. And yes, it would be nice, but I don't think that that's the need, like it has to be that way. I think it's possible. I think it's modern. It's 2020, right? Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of single parents that are successful, happy, and have raised really amazing kids and humans and now doing, you know, great things in the world. So
yeah.
I don't know that it's, you know, the stereotype of you need two people to raise a child.
If you had to... If there's a young lady listening who's maybe dealing with the idea of, you know, what does it mean for her to be a woman or what does it, whatever, what would be the one thing that you can say of like, follow this trajectory, at least this will get you to where you want to go. Wherever that place is, like what's a good rule of thumb?
Look, to me, I wouldn't say like to be a woman. I would say to be the best yourself.
Right. So that's why I said get you where you want to go.
So like I would like for anybody who's listening who wants to be the best version of themselves to do that, whatever that work is. For me, I'm learning with a mirror in front of me. Oh, okay. Let me look into the mirror instead of just being like, it's reflecting, you know, like, okay, let me actually look into this. What is it showing me? So for me, it's showing, oh, you have some anger issues or, oh, you have some of this. Oh, you have pride. So for me, I'm trying to figure out how do I be the best version of that, of myself, which would be to be softer, which would be to say sorry, which would be to, you know, honor my husband and be the best version of me for him and for our future so that we can live in love together.
See, so that's an important statement. So like my answer would be because I know it's my perspective is uniquely male. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is do not be afraid to feel because we are taught that when we feel, we are lesser. We are vulnerable. We have a kink in our armor. Do not be afraid to feel, and do not be afraid to be wrong. Because as men, I know we typically have a desire to be right. We have an innate argumentative thing of why we have to prove ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say that our vocation doesn't define who we are. And if we're looking for that to bring some sort of happiness, it's going to be a really sad thing, because I've been broke and I have money and I only am happy about good relationships and that I'm a good husband. So I say all these things from a male perspective because I know what males deal with growing up. So that's why I asked the question from your perspective, knowing the unique trial of a woman growing up, or even as a woman in business where they're at now, wherever they find themselves in their 20s and their 30s. That's why I ask, you know, what is that advice that you would give them?
I feel like it's interesting because boys growing up, I feel, get taught more like what it means to be a boy or not a boy, or man or not a man. Like, don't cry, be tough, men do this, like, come learn how to do tools. You know what I mean? Where I feel like...
Well, the women are the same.
Well, I don't know.
Be soft. Raise the kids well.
No.
We're not.
You wasn't taught that, but that's society. But that's our culture teaches that.
No. See, what I'm trying to tell you is... Look at the movies. You can see a movie scene where a dad is telling a son, don't cry, son. A girl is not taught to cry. She just is emotional and cries. A girl is not taught to twirl around in her little dress. She just does. So what I'm trying to say is I feel like women are just be, like girls be, and boys are taught like, don't do that. We do this. But I mean, you can point something out in a female, like girls may be like, oh, ladies don't sit like that. Like when you have a dress, you close your legs. Like mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, toddlers, little girls be taught like, cause they don't know they're wearing a dress and their legs are doing cartwheels and flipping around. And the mom's like, hey, we keep our legs closed. Like that's just showing like manners like that. But I think in society, I feel men more so get taught men do this and don't do this, and women are just be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's even what I feel.
I did that with my brother. Like I took my brother out on dates when he was in high school so that he would know how to treat a woman. So even that regard, I was teaching him like, I'm gonna do me, but this is how you should act when you come out on a date. You're gonna open my door. You're gonna sit down. You're gonna do this stuff. So that he would know how, when he goes out on a date, like how to act.
So then you were taught things. So women are taught things.
But I wasn't.
Like society-wise. Our society. Our society did teach you that because you have an expectations of doors being open for you.
Yeah, that's what Texas taught me.
But that's what, but either way, you guys were taught certain things, but like our society does have a very, which is, and the reason I say this is because that's what spurred the whole feminine movement. To say that society has not taught you or have made a role for you can't be accurate, because there is a massive movement of feminism that is like, we will not bow down to the prescription what a woman is supposed to be, because it has been beyond taught and beyond drawn out and shaped, and there's a very clear perspective of what a woman's role is that now they're breaking out of, and now they're doing things that wasn't expected of them.
I guess it's assumed and taught. There's an assumed role of women and there's a taught role. Men, I don't know. And that's it. And I'm only speaking from my own personal experience, and what I've seen is men get taught and women, it's assumed the role. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but even in the church culture,
No, it's okay.
That like you're taught like the man's head of the household.
Yes.
So in church culture, you're already taught like man is head, women submit. And, you know, like there's so much more to that verse, but that's what you're taught. So
I was just going to say, I mean, it just really, I agree with what you were saying earlier. It really comes back to just being true to who you are.
Right.
Because I am a very sensitive, emotional female, and I've always felt confident to be that. But then you know, some of my relationships I've had in my life has communicated, you're too sensitive. Oh, you're just being sensitive. Oh, you're so needy. Mm. Oh, you're just being emotional. And it's just said in such a negative way, because maybe society is like, women are too that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then it kind of put this stigma on me that I need to be less of that. Mm. When actually the reality is that's me.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I can be that. I just need to be wise with
the healthiest version of
the healthiest version of that, and then also wise with who I share that with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's less society and more the person that you're with.
Yeah.
100%. Because they're saying that because they're not willing to. You could be needy. I haven't really seen you as needy. I think it's more so the guy not willing to be selfless enough.
I don't think that, I'm needy. I think it's how I show love. Maybe mm-hmm. that looks needy.
Yeah, you're very anti-needy. Like, you're always like, no. I'm like, do you need this? No, I'm good. Do you need help over here? No, I'm good. Like, I wouldn't call you needy at all. I just think there's certain men do not like to be held accountable to doing as much as you're going to do for them. Like, if you do a lot for me and now you're asking me to do for you, it's easier for me to be like, damn, you're needy, than to be like, all right, let me man up and do for her what she's doing for me.
Put it in the same
thing. Like, it's very easy to do that and then make you feel whack for doing it. Yeah. But no, hey, let me borrow your car. Hey, can you cook me something real quick? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then you do it because it's your role.
Yeah.
It's your role. So I just think it's a man's inability to live up to the same thing that you're giving him. But that's just my thought.
That's a good thought.
Well, hey, I practice really hard trying to learn you guys because this one makes it difficult, but I love it.
Whatever.
You make me a better man. I freaking love you.
Thank you, babe.
I really do. I'm so serious. You make me so much better. I've learned so much from you.
Tell everybody what you learned. Just kidding.
I was about to go off. I was about to be like, well. But I'm so glad that you guys have had this conversation. Hopefully women that have heard have felt some type of, found yourself in some story or of another, or have some type of realization of what it is to be or not to be certain stereotypes that you've been given. I think beyond anything, what makes a woman to me is a clear recognition of who she is and her ability to be honest with that. And not be afraid of that. And then to give that offering to the world, like genuinely to the world, be as emotional or as strategic, you know, or as funny as you can possibly be and embrace all of the flaws as well as work towards the good things. And we are definitely in a place now where there's no more lines. It's really, be who you feel you need to be. But in all of that, I definitely feel like both sides, because pride and this feeling of wanting to be right is not
healthy.
It's not based on a sex thing. I think it's on both sides. But if you can find yourself in a place where you realize the outcome of love and making something work is way more important than being right, I feel like you're farther along on the journey than most people. So, to the women out there holding it down, to the single women raising good men and women, to the women still trying to find a good man, to the women with
or
a man.
Or a woman.
Or a good woman, yep. If you're trying to find a good woman, kudos. And those of you that are in a relationship and all you can see is the bad in that relationship, I hope that you can take some time and really focus on some of the positive things and build yourself in that way. Either way. We love you guys.
Or get out fast.
Or get out fast.
I mean.
We love you guys so much. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, like, all this stuff, share. Share with your friends, and we would appreciate it so much because that's how we grow. And we are grateful for every single person that takes time and spends it with us at the table. So, babe, you want to give our benediction?
Yes. We pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours. Woo-hoo. Cheers.
All my ladies, like babies.
Oh, that's the wrong song.
Baby, you're such a criminal. Cause you're stealing my breath and I can't talk. I'm loving the way you're looking at me. Come on, the cover of your dreams. Paparazzi eyes like flashing lights. Got you hypnotized like I'm famous.
Till I'm finished. Nighttime is the right time when we both shine. Call the hotline, cause you so fine. We keep winning, baby, we keep winning. Cause I feel like a star with you.